research that resonates.
Schweitzer has not been wrong on any of his years and years of reporting on the Bidens.
Investigations that matter.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not. But that's, you know, I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that if my last name wasn't Biden.
The only entities, the only people that would report on this, and Peter Schweitzer, who deserves a Medal of Freedom, in my view.
This is The Drill Down with Peter Schweitzer.
Hello and welcome to The Drill Down, where we relentlessly expose cronyism and corruption in the federal government. I'm Eric Eggers. Normally I'm joined by Peter Schweitzer, but like LeBron James, he's in the league's health and safety protocols this week. Unlike the Lakers, we can bring in some very high talent off the bench, which is why we have Jason Chaffetz today, a distinguished fellow for the Government Accountability Institute, former chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and the host of the Jason in the House podcast. Mr. Chaffetz, good morning. How are you doing?
Mr. Chaffetz, let's go with Jason. Come on. We know each other better than that.
We do, but you have such a distinguished resume, right, that I wanted to at least begin with some formality before I'm sure I'll insult everything you've accomplished in your life and career. One of those things is that you're a Fox News contributor, and it's actually your piece that's on foxnews.com right now. It's your latest piece, which I think is brilliant, that we want to talk to you about today. Jason, I think you've kind of really led in some ways exposing a key security vulnerability for the United States health and safety, and also a key element of hypocrisy. So it's awesome. The world is now facing this new variant, this Omicron variant. As a result, the world is just going crazy, right? The governor of New York has declared a state of emergency, and the Biden administration has responded by banning travel from 8 countries in southern Africa. Now, countries like Japan, Israel, and Morocco have actually banned all foreign travel, but you think that this Biden administration move to ban travel from just these 8 countries is what you call in your piece political theater. Tell us why.
Yeah, I mean, we could go and spend an hour on just the hypocrisy and, and how they treated Donald Trump versus, you know, the way Joe Biden approaches it. But my concern, my thesis here is that I don't care if you're going to lock, you know, 12 people get the sniffles in Botswana and we're going to shut down travel and that sort of thing. And I love that they called it an emergency, but hey, we're going to do it a few days later, you know, because it's that urgent. But they want to, I think, have this illusion that they're doing something and probably couldn't come up with anything else. But when you open up the southern border and you have hundreds of thousands of people without a mask mandate, without a vaccine mandate, who are flowing into the country, who don't get tested, who are then put on planes, trains, and automobiles and pushed out into all the rest of the country. Come on, Mr. President. What do you think? We're idiots? Those Border Patrol agents are out there working with people that they know are COVID positive. And there is no attempt, no demand, no acknowledgement that A, the border's open, B, despite what they say, and B, that they even pay attention to COVID. We know that there is a certain percentage of these people that are COVID positive, and yet they're just shipped out into the rest of the country with nothing. There's no detainment. There's no isolation. There's no nothing. And so don't tell me you're so worried about some Omicron that we don't know anything about out of Botswana and Namibia. And then you just keep Mexico open. It just makes absolutely no sense to me.
It's so funny the way you say that. Like, okay, no, we're definitely going to make sure we keep the Namibian threat isolated. Mexico, who happens to be right next to us, is wide open. And you touched on several key things that we actually did a little bit more research based on your piece. And I just, to be clear for what you're saying that because of the measures that Joe Biden has put in place, that the African mandate is more hypocritical, right? You said it's political theater. In fact, on February 1st, when the Trump administration issued a travel ban on Africa, the quote was from Twitter, "Trump further diminished the U.S. in the eyes of the world by expanding his travel ban. This new African ban is designed to make it harder for black and brown people to immigrate to the United States. It's a disgrace, and we cannot let him succeed." That's what Joe Biden said in February of last year. Today, it's totally appropriate to ban people from a certain part of Africa from coming into the country. But the other key thing is because of these other protection measures that they've included, which includes vaccine mandates, which, as we'll discuss, have reduced the capacity for the Border Patrol to keep people from coming into the country, and by not requiring vaccines or even testing for the illegal immigrants coming to the country, what I think you've done is point out and I think prove that Biden's vaccine mandates and lax border protection actually are actively introducing more COVID to the country.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the numbers are so stunning because we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. Those are just the ones we know about. I mean, if you look at just the gotaways and all these different categories of people, we know, like I went to the Eloy Detention Center years ago in Arizona. And if we captured somebody who was coming across the border, they were going to be detained. They take them to one of nine centers there in Arizona. Well, you go to the Eloy Center, and there were people from more than 150 countries. So it's not just a Mexico or a Guatemala problem. We had surges that were coming out of Haiti. We had surges that were coming out of Venezuela. But we have people coming from the Middle East, from Africa and whatnot. So in the case of Botswana, okay, you're not going to get on a Delta flight flying out of Johannesburg starting on Monday. This is, you know, Monday of before. That was the emergency thing. But if you fly to Mexico and pay a coyote and come across the border, no problem. Come on in. It's just so fundamentally wrong. And I don't understand how Kamala Harris, who's supposedly in charge of this, and Joe Biden can look people in the eye. You're not serious about solving this problem if you also keep our borders open.
Well, remember, Kamala Harris is actively distancing herself from the Biden administration border policy. That was the takeaway from that CNN
piece.
She's just
the vice president.
The fact that Joe Biden gave her the border was actually soft racism and bigotry on Joe Biden's part, apparently. But I think to your point, and you actually cite some numbers. So it's not like people coming into the country from the southern border, they're not just Mexican, they're not just Guatemalan. You point out that in 2019, when illegal migration levels were much lower, of the 5,000 people from 35 African nations were taken into custody trying to cross the border, right? So 35 different African nations, 5,000 people among the people there. So if people can come from Africa to Mexico in 2019, they certainly can do it in 2021. And oh, by the way, as you know, the Omicron variant's been also found on flights coming in from Amsterdam and elsewhere, right? So it's not like it's just still isolated in this one portion of a continent.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the other point we should think about, it's not just COVID. I mean, there are other types of things that are coming across, let alone the human trafficking, the fentanyl, the drug trafficking. I mean, there is just, they just flow across the border. And remember, this is at the exact same time that they're telling the Border Patrol agents themselves that if you haven't gotten vaccinated and lived up to our federal employee mandate, guess what? We're going to let you go. I talked to Brandon Judd, who is the president or chairman of the Border Patrol Union. And he tells me that there are something like 904 Border Patrol agents that are on notice that could be fired, dismissed, or not allowed to go to work at any time. And so they seem much more adamant about going after a Border Patrol agent who's already been exposed over the last 18 months anyway. That no matter what they've done, if they don't properly fill out this form and say that, hey, you had the vaccine, then they're going to fire them. Why are they so, I mean, they are so much more stringent on Americans than they are people that are here illegally.
You know, it's such an important point because I think what it speaks to is, and this is where I think a lot of people that might not embrace a lot of these global health protection measures that the Biden administration or other states have pushed, like no one's anti-public health, right? But what I think we are is we're anti-performative policy that doesn't have any actual substantive results. And I think what you're exposing is this hypocrisy that ultimately uncovers exactly that. If you really do believe that forcing vaccines on everybody, which they've done, right? They've required vaccines for federal employees and federal contractors, which, as we'll point out, will decimate the Border Patrol agency, among other agencies, right? You mentioned 900 people that are on notice. Some estimates indicate that the attrition for the Border Patrol agency could exceed 11,000 agents, which would leave a mere 8,000 agents on patrol. That's like over 60% of the Border Patrol could end up in one scenario being lost. This is based on a Fox News article with internal Border Patrol documents, right? So 60% of the Border Patrol could go away because of this vaccine mandate that they've performatively imposed on American citizens. So if that's that effective, then why not require even testing for the people that come through the border?
You know, as I go back and I look objectively, you know, look, I've got Republican roots, okay? I get that. But as I look objectively at what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are doing, I struggle to figure out what in the world they have actually done since they came into office. Joe Biden said we needed a plan. I don't see or understand the plan. They said they were going to eradicate the virus and not eradicate and decimate the economy. I struggle to look at the metrics and understand their justification for that. And then I look at these Border Patrol agents and I look at some of the crazies on the far left, you know, the AOCs of the world and Omar and all these people who want to get rid of the Border Patrol and they want to get rid of ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement side. You know, this is a way to actually achieve the goal without just shutting down the agency and having to take a tough vote in Congress. Well, let's just let's not pay them enough. Let's not hire enough. And let's put so many onerous rules on them that they quit. And then they achieve their goal.
What I think is really fun about this issue, and like fun in a it's destroying the world kind of way, is the fact that we've got this battle between like global health concern and the thing that we were all concerned about before global health, which was intersectionality, right? Remember that? Remember when we all derived our social value by the thing that made us like the weakest? Like, oh, I'm a first generation college student. I'm a Latina. I identify as something else. And that was like, okay, then that is to be celebrated and valued. And then it was like, oh, wait, now we have actual, like, now I've got mitigating health concerns, right? So I need all these extra people to do everything else because my health is vulnerable and exposed. So now it's like, okay, wait, well, what do we care about more? The health of people, which is why we have these vaccine mandates, or the cultural sensitivity of these undocumented people, which are coming into the country. And so how do we sort of marry the two? And I think the Biden administration's lack of health protocols for these people that are entering the country shows that the global health stuff takes a back seat to cultural concerns, which just makes all the other impositions all the more outrageous.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, one thing that I was thinking that Joe Biden could have done that I don't see any evidence of is to get the rapid testing out as far and wide as possible. Make it as easy and simple as possible. You could have it at home. I don't think it's asking too much to say, hey, we're just going to do a rapid test here. I think that would be much more palatable than saying, like, let's say you're on the Border Patrol and you maybe 9 months ago got pregnant. Would you take a vaccine that doesn't have any testing on pregnant women and inject that into your body while you're growing this baby inside of you? I don't think so. And so there's lots of real scenarios where you wouldn't do this. Or what about the person who already had COVID? I mean, there's no recognition that the people that have already had COVID have a degree of immunity that's maybe even stronger than any of the vaccines. But to your point, I think you're right. Making sure that they get the cultural side of it is much more important to this administration than it is to actually getting the science. And this gets into the whole Dr. Fauci thing. I'm just, you know, America needs a second opinion. And it's time to get rid of Dr. Fauci for a whole lot of reasons. But how come Dr. Fauci and the Centers for Disease Control isn't pointing their finger over at the southern border and looking at hundreds of thousands of people coming into our country that aren't getting tested? And if they have COVID, continue on their way. Like, it makes no sense to me. And again, diminishes the credibility of the true science and the credibility of the Centers for Disease Control. How can you not be concerned about that and be concerned about 12 people in Botswana?
Right. I'm old enough to remember a few months ago when people were touring the border detention facilities, right? And we were seeing these reports from the news about the horrific health conditions and the concern about the people that are being detained and children and everything else. Where's the concern about the health conditions if we're actively not requiring vaccines, requiring testing. I mean, it seems like that would also be a legitimate concern, right?
So from the Border Patrol agents that I've spoken to, their theory on this is the kids in cages, people in cages. You saw Ted Cruz, you saw lots of other people publish pictures. James Lankford, the senator from Oklahoma, others put out pictures in horrific conditions.
Right.
There's no spacing. There's no beds. There's just, you know, those space blankets that they're throwing at them and giving them a, you know, some juice cup and some lemonade, I guess. But one of the reasons and theories that they just released them is they have no ability to detain these people. So you have an open border, then you do have them in a detention facility, then they're spreading COVID. And what's the best way to deal with that? Just release them, get rid of them, send them out into hotels, out into Texas and New Mexico and you know, all over the country, Florida, you know, all the reports of people being sent to Florida. I just don't understand how America isn't holding them accountable and why, you know, Joe Biden doesn't take any questions, but this is one of the prime questions I'd like to ask the president if somebody would actually be able to ask him a question.
It's such a good point. And, you know, as a Floridian, it'll be interesting to see because I think in the county where we live, we're currently at 2%. COVID positivity rate in Florida, I believe, leads the nation in the least number of COVID cases now, right? I mean, some people have suggested that they're trying to send these immigrants to states like Florida as a way to make Republican leadership who haven't embraced the draconian measures look worse. I don't know that I would go there, but I mean, but it is interesting if you do start to see a spike, how much of it is from just the natural Omicron variant and how much of it is from immigrants coming here that haven't gone through the same protocols that we've required of everybody else.
You know, in the article, I didn't really touch upon this, but in this podcast, I can. You know, we have 80,000+ people that were pulled out of Afghanistan. And
right.
The president and Secretary Mayorkas promised us, they assured us that they had thorough vetting and background checks. Well, now there's reports out that, yeah, maybe not. Oh, whoops, we didn't do that. And it begs the question, did you test them for COVID? How many did have COVID? I have a hard time believing that none had COVID. What did you do with the people that had COVID? You know, all these types of questions. This administration and the national media, they just blow right by it as if it's not a non-issue.
Well, you and I were speaking before we started recording this, and you just mentioning the 80,000 people coming from Afghanistan and the pledge to background check all of them. And I couldn't help but think of the stat you shared from when you were in Congress and what you discovered about what we do with shipping containers. Share that, and then let's think about that. Let's think about the 80,000 Afghan screening requirement. Let's think about the immigration influx requirement in the context of the math you're about to share.
So I was on the Oversight Committee. I was chair of the Oversight Committee. And one of the things we kind of stumbled upon was the shipping and the ports. And so we did some research. And most people are stunned by these numbers. But by law, the Border Patrol is supposed to be inspecting 100% of the cargo containers that come into our ports. In reality, they inspect less than 2%. And so as you start to do that, I started to do an investigation into port security. I've been to Busan, South Korea. I've been to China to try to look at how they do it in Shanghai. Some innovative stuff that actually comes out of Pakistan. Our own ports right here. It is stunning. If you want to smuggle something into the United States, you have a 98% chance it's going to go through without any inspection whatsoever. And if it's coming out of China, the Chinese are not going to allow pre-inspection before that cargo is actually sealed up. And we put so much pressure. Now, in a hearing, we actually questioned Border Patrol why they weren't doing this and why Homeland Security was not it. And they said, you know what, Congress, you don't fund us to do that. So if you actually want to solve this, you're going to have to fund it. And it was actually a really good response. But it is stunning when we look at drugs and guns and all the other problems, human trafficking, getting through our ports is relatively easy.
See, that's outrageous to me, and I'll tell you why. If you're saying that smugglers have a 98% success rate, I have a much less success rate when I've been trying to bring Cuban cigars back into the country, okay? Because when you go to Europe, you can get them in these places, and I'm okay at it. I'm not 98%
airplanes,
okay.
Airplanes get a pretty good inspection.
I mean, well, you know, have to do some research on that. But I guess, like, to me, 98%, we're only reviewing 2% of the shipping cargoes despite the pledge the mandate, the law, that we're supposed to evaluate 100% of them. That makes me wonder how many of these 80,000 migrants did we really do the background check on? And oh, by the way, just back to the actual people that we know are crossing the border, we've detained 1.3 million people from the Mexican border and taken them into custody since President Biden took office. And those are just the people we've actually taken into custody. Based on your experience in Congress, what do you think that suggests the actual number of people crossing the border is?
Well, it's stunningly high. I mean, the thing is, it is millions. And let me give you another stat, another topic for another show. If you're a Mexican national, you can get a border crossing card. Essentially, it's a visa from the United States. It's good for 10 years. All you have to show is that you're a resident of Mexico. And you get a border crossing card. It allows you on a daily basis to cross in and back and forth into the United States. The idea was that in Nogales we'll take Nogales as an example in Arizona. Oh, we'd much rather have those people shopping at the Walmart in Nogales and then bringing their goods back across the border. But it doesn't work like that. You know, this country still, despite the funding and the law, we don't have an entry-exit program where we can tell who's come in and who's exited the country. Yeah, I mean, I go to a local, you know, sandwich shop, and they can tell me every time I buy 10 sandwiches, I get one for free.
It's true.
But if somebody comes across the border from Mexico and is now into the United States, there's no system that tells you that he left. Let alone, does he have COVID? Does he, you know, there's no testing of this whatsoever. So that's 9 million people right there that we last heard have these cards, plus the millions of people that are going to flow across the border during this administration. I mean, this is why the Border Patrol is just so frustrated, because under Donald Trump, there was Remain in Mexico, and there was they got rid of catch and release. So Border Patrol will go up around 20 people up, and now they just release them. It's so out of control, but it fits the objectives of what the Democrats really want to do. That's their goal. We shouldn't be totally surprised by it, but it needs exposing.
It's stunning stuff. You know, Jason, it's one of these cruel paradoxes. Every time I talk to you, you're such a smart guy. You're so fun to talk to. Yet I always feel so much worse about myself and the world every time we talk. You know, it's just a tough thing. But you should check out Jason Chaffetz's piece on FoxNews.com. He, I think, makes very effectively the case that the Biden vaccine mandates and the current travel bans are all political theater, because what's actually happening is, by requiring vaccine mandates for federal employees, that has caused a departure of a number of people at the Border Patrol, and then not testing the illegal immigrants that are coming across the border, Biden's policies could actually be actively introducing more COVID to the country. It's a stunning take. I think it's backed up by data. And we thank very much Jason Chaffetz, distinguished GAF fellow, for joining us today on The Drill Down. Jason, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
If you liked what you heard today and you want to find out more things that may or may not make you feel worse about the current level of the country that you live in, please go to thedrilldown.com, or you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts.